really marvelous that we, though very few in number with our choir, and yet the sound and your harmony is tremendous. The volume is also encouraging. It's blessed our, really bless our hearts this evening. I know it's a lot of work that goes into it, but it really pays off. And it's been such a blessing. Good to see a good number out. We have so many people away. Such a very good number in attendance. And we have some of our friends visiting from us. And we want you to know we appreciate your presence. Many years ago, a very wealthy man announced that he would pay all of the bills of that particular community, but it was one stipulation. He would only be there sitting there in the sort of little downtown grocery shop on the porch. He would be there from 9 until 12. After 12, no more bills will be paid. Some people laughed and said it's just a hoax, and others said he doesn't really mean it. Not him. He can't be serious. And just about 5 minutes to 12, there's a fellow who could hardly walk. In fact, he was very weak and obvious. He had a lot of bills, a batch of them in his hand. And he came up, and without any hesitation, he sat down in front of the rich benefactor and handed him all the bills. He said, "Here you are, sir. These all I've been wanting to have them paid for years, but I've never been able to. I've been ill, and it's been on my conscience." I know some people owe money, it doesn't bother their conscience, but however, he just wanted them paid. And the rich man, without any hesitation, wrote one check for the entire sum. It wasn't long until he calculated it all and gave them the check. And they knew that his check was good. And the people said, "You know, we believe he means it." And they all rushed home to get their bills. But when they came back, the man was not there. 9 to 12 was the stipulation. They didn't believe that he would pay their bill. In John 5:40, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." He was the embodiment of life. He was eternal life, and he offered eternal life, and they would not believe. Neither would they trust him. And that is the subject tonight. Why are a lot of people are not really believing in Jesus? I know, theoretically, historically, there are people who believe in a Christ who lived, and there are people in Spanish world who even believe that he is God, manifest in the flesh. But they have never really committed their life to him and accepted him by faith. They know he died on the cross even, but they have never really applied the cross work of Jesus to their heart and life. And you can wait, you can act in suspicion, or you can procrastinate, you can put it off, you can delay, and the day is coming that the offer is going to be closed, just like the rich man who wanted to pay all the bills. Christ paid the debt for sin, in a sense, but you have to appropriate it. May I suggest a few things? Men said no to God. He said, "Ye will not come to me." That's of the will. You see, that's deliberate. Now, there are people who will not say, even in Spanish, "Well, I would never say that. I would never say that I wouldn't like to be saved because I'd like to be a Christian." I've heard it repeatedly. It might be a rare case in our island where a person would say, "I don't want your God and I don't want your Christ. I don't want your heaven. I don't want his forgiveness. I don't want anything to do with God." That would be a rare thing in Spanish well. But do you know something? It is equally as bad if you believed all the things that I said formally, and you're not taking the position or the stand of the person who says, "I don't want your God, I don't want your Christ, I don't want your heaven, and I don't want his forgiveness." You can live your life nominally, you can go on in life, and never appropriate the salvation of God, and die a sinner's death, and be lost just like the man who says, "I don't want it." That's the sad part about living in a nice Christian community
like our community. We have our problems. We have our faults. We're far from being perfect, it is true. But we're blessed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is preached faithfully in the three pulpits of this land. And we have a good percentage of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a Redeemer. And a good percentage that are in attendance to church services. Week by week and year by year. This is commendable. I believe God is pleased with that. A lot of people may not think so, but God is pleased when people go out to hear His Word and want to hear His Word. With all of our problems and all of our failings in our community, I suggest again, one of the greatest no to God's offer is that of disobedience. It's simply just plain disobedience. You will not come. 2 Thessalonians is a very solemn verse, chapter 1 and verse 8, if you're making a note. It says, the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonians believers, he said this regarding the end times. He says, He shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and here it is, and obey not gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to suggest that disobedience is going to be the thing. Will not obey the gospel. Will not follow through with the gospel. Will not take the gospel as part of their life and of their being. I want to suggest that this is going to cause more people to be lost in hell than perhaps any other sin. Romans 1:19, it says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, that is, they know that there is a God, and it's evident within them, for God made it evident to them. And verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, the invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, having been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. You look at nature. God has got signposts out. Nature itself. All the wonderful, intricate things of nature, creation. It's marvelous. When we stop to think of some of the designs, do you know over 50,000 thoughts go into one flower? God had 50,000 thoughts in creating flowers. Amazing, isn't it? We can't even enter into all the intricate and marvelous things of creation itself. But creation is a witness to mankind that there is a God. I don't have to prove that there is a God. And if we have another witness, such a God says, He rains His reign upon the just and the unjust. Isn't it marvelous? That is a witness. And Paul said in Romans, if man is without excuse. God is a just God. He is a good God. He's a gracious God. And He's always giving. And He's always manifesting His goodness to mankind, His kindness to mankind. And yet they cried, crucify Him. We do not want this man to reign over us. Is that your plight here tonight? Is that your condition? Is that the attitude of your heart? I don't want Him. I do not want Him. Away with Him. I do not want this man to rule in my life. A young actor many years ago when I was in the unsaved world, he was one of my favorite. When he was asked the same question about God, he said, God? He said, let me tell you something. My motto in life is wine, women, and song. He died a very young, I say a young actor. I think he was in his 50s. And he was perhaps a real dashing young actor of Hollywood. Well known. Liked and disliked. Hated and loved. It was even reported that he raped a young girl. And that made him famous. He had a huge yacht down in Jamaica. One day when he was on his yacht, his wife left him because of a bit of dispute, and he was working on his yacht, and he felt a pain in his chest. He clutched his chest, and with a gasp, he was gone. His name was Errol Flynn. That rings a bell with a lot of you. real handsome actor. Man who made Hollywood come alive with Robin Hood. Wine, women, and song. That was his philosophy in life. And he's gone. Didn't want anything to do with God. When the Beatles were at the height of their popularity, one of them made a very stupid statement. He said, you know something? He told a vast audience, we are more popular than Jesus Christ. Where are they now? He said, well, they're still popular. Those that are alive, what, is it one alive now? I don't even know. I do not keep up with them. Maybe their records will go down in the annals of history. The young people may still love them and so on, but they're gone. One was shot very sadly, and I do not gloat over that. Believe me, I don't. I think he had something like $160 million to his name, but he's more popular than Jesus Christ. And his $160 million stayed here, and he is gone. My friend, let me tell you something. You cannot boast in this world and class yourself, compare yourself with the Lord. It's foolish, ridiculous to even think it, much less say it. I realize that sometimes there's the disobedience or the no of ignorance. Now, when I say ignorance, I don't mean stupidity. Uninformed, maybe, would be a better word. Or maybe deliberately so. And they, like Israel, that my people are a foolish people. They have not any knowledge. Neither will they turn to me in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22. In fact, the Lord says, the Pharisees, you have ears to hear, but you're not listening. You have eyes and you see, but you cannot see. You're blind. And that is the danger of knowing the gospel and not heeding the gospel. That perhaps is one of the cardinal problems and sins in Spanish wealth. You know it so well, and yet it could be to your detriment and to your destruction in a coming day. I pray God that you'll act upon it. Do something about it. Maybe you're all here saved. I don't know. I'm not sitting in judgment tonight, but congregation like this, I hardly stare at people to see who is here who may not be or may be saved. But if you're here tonight, you know your own heart. In the light of God's word, you know the state of your heart before Him. You know whether you're saved or not. It is our prayer that you will hasten your steps and bow the knee to Christ and open your heart and let Him in. You know what they said? Is not this the carpenter's son? The historical Christ to them. The ox knoweth his owner. The ass his master's crib. But my people, they don't know. They don't want to know. Thirdly, they said no to his invitation. Oh, this is sad. Remember in Matthew 22 and verse 3, the king sent forth his servants to call them that were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. They mocked. They laughed. And the Bible says, and they began to make excuses. One bought an oxen, he wanted to prove an ox. Another bought a piece of land, and he wanted to go and see it, which is very ridiculous when you think of it. Rarely you ever find people buying land like that. The other married a wife and he couldn't come, and sometimes we joke about that and we say he probably had the best excuse, but that's not the point. The point is they all made excuses. I want to tell you, if there's ever an age where man is still making excuses, it's today. We talk to some unconverted people about their soul's destiny and salvation, say, Frank, I want to, but. And they always have an excuse. What is your excuse? Joe Reese gave us a very startling and stunning illustration or analogy. He said, stand before the cross of Jesus. Remember that night? On Calvary. No disciples there. No Roman soldiers there. No one else. Only you. I will inject this. You're all there by yourself. And he looks down and he pleads with you to trust in him as your savior. What excuse would you give? You know, it's the same thing here tonight. You cannot answer for the person next to you, neither can they for you. You're totally responsible for your own position right now before the Lord. Tell me, in all earnestness of your heart, tell God, rather, what excuse would you give? Would you say, in that day, as I believe many will, you know, I wanted to, Lord. I wanted to. I thought about it many a night. Some nights I couldn't even sleep. Some night I wept. Some nights I felt so saddened in my heart. I knew that I should have given my life to you, and you plead and you cry, and the Lord Jesus will look at you at the great white throne judgment when you stand before him, and he will have to tell you, I never knew you. I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into the lake of fire. Depart from me will be the saddest words that will ever ring in your ears in eternity to come. I never knew you. Because you insisted on having your own way. You insisted in making excuses. He invites you to come. The king was insulted. After all, it was the king that was inviting them to the wedding of his child. And they mocked and they laughed. They scorned it. No wonder he was angry with them. Fourthly, perhaps you're not guilty of this, as maybe some are in the world, rebellion. There are people that I've come up against that are very rebellious. Know of rebellion. Proverbs 1:24 says, because I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded it. I called and you refused. I stretched my hands out and you wouldn't regard it. You turned your back. Rebellion. Rebellion. I guess they did the same in Noah's day. And he went into the ark. I see the Lord Jesus weeping. And he cries, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not come. And somehow I seem to think, and I see him, if you don't mind, a little sanctified imagination. Is it possible that Jesus is looking down upon Spanish Wells, the unconverted of the land, and he's saying, I want to save you. I want to gather you as a hen does gather her chick. I want to secure you. I want to save you. I want to love you. And I know you love him. He's pleading. What a cry. What an invitation. You could go out of the door tonight. And you can rebel. You can say no to him. You can turn your back on him. But you're going to pay a price, ultimately. 1 John 5:9, we have the witness of God that made him a liar. That's right. Failure to reflect him as being the truth. There were a failure of the people. And John chapter 5, to respond to his love, and I think that is sad. That is sad. No response to the love of God. For God so loved Spanish well. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever here in this chapel tonight will believe in him, in this chapel they will not perish, but those in this chapel will have eternal life. Put your name there. I trust that you're going to respond. Not to respond to this love is very sad. Repent of the injustices shown to God. We need to preach the gospel not only of forgiveness and grace, but a gospel of repentance. We don't hear too much about that today. Repent and believe. Call upon God and confess to him For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Call upon the Lord and respond to the gospel clarion. Failure in refusing the way of escape. Foolish to do this. Many years ago, I read a very heart-rending incident when the father was held back by ropes and the policeman in the high school was on fire. And those schools had bars on them, and as well as their windows, because of vandalism. They put the bars to protect the windows. And the fire was engulfing the building, and there was one boy crying through the bars. He saw his father in the crowd. He said, "Father, help me, help me." And he wanted to rush into the building, but the police held them back from naturally. All of them weren't burned to death, but his boy was. He was within the sound of his father's, of his voice, but that father could not save his son. He was in the very sound of it. It was a pathetic thing. I read that and I wept. And then I thought of a lot of people who, within the sound of the gospel and the refusing Christ, just a prayer away, just a breath away, and they're refusing Christ. And they're saying no to him. And they're still turning their back on the Lord Jesus Christ. The no of rebellion. I pray God that this is not your problem. Then lastly, what does it really mean then to come to Christ? Matthew 11:28, the Lord Jesus gives a personal invitation. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I tell you, that's one of the sweetest things in the world, to be able to go to bed at night knowing that you're a born-again believer and that your sins are forgiven. And come what may through the night, if your heart should stop, you'd enter right into the immediate presence of the Lord, because it'd be absent from the body and present with God, present with the Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to know that you have that security, you have that safety. And there's a personal invitation he gives. Come unto me. Come unto me. A personal encounter with Christ. A confession as a sinner. Confessing the need of Christ is the verse I already quoted. Receive, believe. Isn't that beautiful? Or believe, receive. Tell me, what is so difficult in believing and receiving? They're sort of twin words, and they go together. You cannot separate reception without belief. Belief and receiving go together. John 1:12, well, 1:11 says he came to the Jews, his own, but his own received him. What? They received him not. And that's simple. They said, "No, we do not want you." Verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name." Receive, or believe, receive, receive, believe. Both go together. You see, it is not that difficult at all. But I tell you what is needed tonight. One special need. One special ingredient, if you will. The will. What is our verse, our text again? John 5:40, when Jesus looked at the Pharisees, said, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." It's the will. Ye will not. The will is in play here. It's a matter of being willing. You say, "Brother Frank, I'm willing. I certainly don't want to be lost in hell. I don't want to be left behind at the rapture. I want to be ready in the time of death. I'm not willing to die without God." Then do something about it tonight. Not tomorrow. Tonight. And you'll never be sorry. And you know what it is to be a child of God, like the thief on the cross. Like the Philippian jailer. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved." Will you come? Will you turn to him tonight? Will you say yes to him and respond? Will it be the no of disobedience? Will it be that of of ignorance, that is, deliberately or in a manner or fashion that you're not aware of? Are you saying no to his invitation? Will it be a no of rebellion? Or will it be a yes to the claims of Christ? I pray, God, it will be that you will come. For he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, and shall what? Shall suddenly be cut off. That without rest. I tell you, the word of God is very sure. He that has been often convicted, he that has been often spoken to, shall suddenly be destroyed. That without remedy. All because of neglect and carelessness in receiving Christ. Shall we pray? Well, heads are bowed and Christians are praying tonight because they care and because their families here, loved ones, moms and dads have been praying for you. If you're here and you're not a Christian, just remember that they do care, but God cares far more than them. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a professed believer and you'd like to return to the Lord. You want to walk with Him. You want to be in fellowship with Him again. What a wonderful opportunity it would be. Just right where you're seated, right in your seat. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I believe I'm truly born again, but I've strayed. I've wandered away from you. Whatever the predicament, whatever it is, you know your own heart. Pray the prayer of your heart according to the need of your heart. Would you do that? Just before we go to prayer. Or if you're here and you're not saved, just say, I've been just plain negligent. I've been careless. But I'm going to do something about it tonight. Right where you're seated. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me, and here and now I receive you as my Savior. Will you do that right now? And you can sing with us.
Into my heart, into my heart. Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Father, as we bow in your presence, we realize your word is solemn. We have difficulty in understanding what it's going to be like, Heavenly Father, in that day when you say, depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. And yet your hand is extended in grace today, and it's whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. O God, in your mercy and in your kindness, be pleased to speak tonight. Save souls is our prayer. May there be those that will make that genuine commitment to thee, for it's too late. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have done so, would you let us know? I'm glad to come to your home, have a word of prayer with you, give you some literature. You needn't go away. Meet with us in the office.